Hello, and welcome to the Project Elected podcast. Project Elect is a nonpartisan nonprofit whose goal is pretty simple. We want to get more Latter-day Saint women involved in public service. On this podcast, we interview amazing Latter-day Saint women who are involved in public service. My name is Audrey Perry Martin. I'm the founder of Project Elect and the host of this podcast. I am excited today to interview Sid Lamone. She is a Pleasant Grove City Councilwoman. She has a lot of great things to say. I think she's going to have some good stories, and she lives right by where I grew up in Orem, Utah. So I'm excited to hear all about Pleasant Grove and all the great things you're doing there. Sid, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is an awesome opportunity. Thank you.
Well, let's get started. I like to have my guests kind of introduce themselves and tell me a little bit about them and their, you know, their background.
Yeah, well, I am a homegrown Pleasant Grovian. That's what I like to call it. Born and raised here, and am raising my family here, and haven't strayed far because I love it so much. Pleasant Grove is an amazing community, and you know, we live at the base of an amazing, you know, Timpanogos Mountain. We have G Mountain. We have just so much history here in Pleasant Grove that I just have never really wanted to go that far because it's such an amazing place to raise a family. So I'm very well connected with our community in our city, and that's one reason I wanted to get involved. But yeah, I'm married with three boys. Their ages are 22, 19, and 15. My 22-year-old served a LDS mission in Thailand and is now at BYU studying linguistics. My 19-year-old is currently serving in Milan, Italy on a mission. And my youngest, it just started at Pleasant Grove High School, which is super fun for me and my husband because we're both Vikings. And so he's going to bring up the caboose with our Viking train that we've been on for the past, almost 30 years with me and my husband attending. So we're excited that he'll have a experience at the high school.
That's fantastic. And Pleasant Grove is growing like crazy. I notice every time I go visit my family, there's new things being built all around that area. How is it being on a city council of such a growing area?
Well, there's definitely challenges, but the rewards from seeing that growth far outweigh, you know, the hard work that it takes to get there. We have so many new businesses, and we're, you know, restoring our parks, and we're just trying to revitalize our community. We are, you know, almost 175 years old. And so being an old city like that, there's just a lot of opportunity for growth and to still honor the history, but also bring in so many new things to the community for people to enjoy for another, hopefully, 100 years. So it's definitely a challenge to manage that growth, but it's been so fun to be part of that and see what we can accomplish as we, you know, bring in those businesses and bring in, like I said, new parks and programs. And that part is very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear your story about how you got involved in public service and what inspired you to run for office.
Yeah, well, it was when my oldest son, again, who's now 22, he was in kindergarten, and I got involved with the PTA. That's really where this whole situation started. My mom was really, really involved. She worked full-time for the state of Utah, but she always found time to come into my classroom. She was a room mom. She helped with class parties. She was always really involved. And so from her example, I started getting involved very early on when my oldest son was in kindergarten. And I just jumped in. I remember I was on the membership for the PTA. Then I became president and just served in these different positions over the years. But when I was president, I remember one of the biggest accomplishments I had with the other PTA moms and dads was that we got a marquee for the school. And it was about a $20,000 electronic marquee. We had the old one where you move up the letters and have to go out and hand, you know, remove everything every time you want to put a message up. So that was a big deal that we get an electronic marquee and communicate with the parents. And after we did it, we got the marquee, and I thought, if I can make a difference at this level with my kids' elementary school, maybe I can do this at the next level, which for me would be city council. I mean, I didn't have any experience in politics, nothing. But I just knew that I wanted to make a difference because it felt really good to be a part of something like that and work hard and get something done that would benefit a lot of people. And I didn't do that on my own in the PTA. There was a team of, like I said, a lot of people helping and parents and teachers doing that. But I ran, and I remember I had they were little kids at the time, and I would take them in the stroller and I'd go door to door, and my family was super supportive. But I ran and I came in first, which I was really surprised about, but I just tried my hardest. I just told people what I wanted to do and how I wanted to serve. And I think I probably appealed to a different crowd than what Pleasant Grove had been used to. Because I think generally, younger women especially don't have, what I hear from them is they don't have time. Or another thing I hear is that they could never do that, or they could never be a leader. And I it's so disappointing to hear that, because I know there's a lot of women who would be amazing leaders in their community or school or whatever it is. But I see now also why, you know, they may not want to get involved, because it is time. I mean, I had three little kids at the time, but I felt it was important for them to see me be involved and for me to be an example to them. And so I ran, and I was in my early 30s at the time, and I've been serving ever since. And I've continued to run for really like the past decade, because I do enjoy it so much. And I'll continue to run for public office as long as I can continue to make a difference. But it really was that PTA experience and that small change that we were able to make at the school that I thought, I can do this at the next level. And then that inspired me to run for city council. So that's, I would say that's really where it started. And with my mom, really, who was involved early on, and I watched her throughout the years be involved in our community and my school. And I really wanted to, you know, to follow in her footsteps.
Yeah. So that's great. You came through up through, you know, the PTA, and what mm-hmm. What skills do you think you developed as a PTA mom that mm-hmm. helped you in your campaign and being a councilwoman?
I think one is just working with a variety of personalities and people, serving on the council, other people I serve with, you know, the staff at the city, residents. I mean, you're working with a lot of different personalities, and some are harder to get along with than others. And so I think, but if you want to come together and get something done, you have to be able to work together with people of all different, you know, backgrounds. So that was the first thing. I also think just being able to lead and have an idea and follow through with it, whether it was a marquee or, you know, a new program that we brought into the school, it didn't matter. Just if you have the idea, being able to inspire people to join you is important as well. And I remember there was a friend, I met so many amazing women serving on the PTA, but one in particular, I asked her, and a lot of people just have to be asked. Let me go back to that for just a second. I think there's no harm in asking. Someone may always say no, but if you don't ask, they may not get that opportunity. What I found is, especially with women, we're so busy, we generally don't go and just volunteer on our own and say, I want to be involved. But once they're asked, I rarely had someone say no. And so I would try to think of people who had maybe the personality or the leadership skills or just a set of talents that would fit a role in the PTA. And the same thing with city council. Find someone who could serve on a board or commission that is passionate about it. And I rarely had someone say no once I asked. And so I met so many amazing people, and one to this day has served in numerous positions. She's still serving. I mean, 15 years later, it's just been like awesome to see people get involved like that. But I think sometimes they just have to be asked. So
mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for asking people to do things? Because I know sometimes women have a hard time. They want to do everything themselves, mm-hmm. right? And so it's hard for them to ask. But like you said, they're missing out on opportunities to serve, to be involved, to do something good that they probably would enjoy if you don't ask. So any tips on how to do that and how to approach people?
I would say find the people that match up with you know, that position that you're looking for. So my friend who I initially asked years ago, and that's how we became friends, is through the PTA. I knew she was really good with numbers, so I asked her if she would be interested in being treasurer. So something that they're passionate about and something that they're going to be excited about, you know, someone who isn't analytical, maybe doesn't like numbers, probably, you know, isn't the best person to serve as treasurer. So I think matching up people with their skills, and whenever I would call, you know, or text them, I would say, you know what, your name came up for this position and we, you know, you have these certain skills, and just compliment them and let them know that why their name came up. And I think it just makes them feel good that I'm wanted, you know, in this organization. I do have a set of skills that can really help me, you know, be successful in this position. And, you know, I just want to be a part of something. And I think I approached it with complimenting them and showing that they would be amazing in this role, that they would have support, and however we needed to make it work so they could come and be part of that was a huge, you know, a huge thing. I didn't want to make it seem overwhelming. So, you know, I'd always say we'd have a team of people to help, but we'll take any time we can get from you. And then they would just get in and get involved and be passionate about it. And it would be awesome. So those would be my tips, is just find, match people up with what they're passionate about and their talents are. And I rarely, like I said, did someone say no to helping.
Those are fantastic tips. And I especially like how you kind of compliment them and tell them why you think they'd be good for the job. Like, you have confidence in their ability to do it, and you are believing in them and telling them skills that they have. That's a fantastic way to do it.
What you just said is having confidence in them, and then they're going to have confidence in themselves. So I think that's really important, is to make them feel that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing those tips. I know I made you do that on the top of your head. So thanks. So tell me what experiences you think, besides being in the PTA, that kind of prepared you for this, for being a public office holder?
I mean, going back to high school, I was on student council in high school. And so I think kind of from an early age, I really, really enjoyed being in those leadership positions. I remember I was assemblies chairperson, so I had to get up in front of the entire school and host these assemblies. And I really, really liked that. I really liked being part of something that came up with a creative assembly and talking to people and making people laugh. Like, I just always enjoyed that. And so it kind of came naturally when it was time to do that with my own family and my own kids and be involved like that. I've just always kind of had the interest to be involved, and not everyone does. And that's why they need to find their own thing that they're passionate about. And it may not be as high level as city council. It may be serving on the historical committee or an arts commission. It may just be something that, you know, and those are very important things. So we need people and women for every part of, you know, community. It doesn't matter, school, city, we need people involved and ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. So what do you think makes a good public servant? In your job as a councilwoman, what do you see that helps you, helps people you work with?
I would say, first, you just have to have the desire to do it. You know, if you're going to go into it and you don't maybe have the time, the support of your family, I think that's huge, because it's really going to end up being a burden and you're not going to enjoy it. From day one, my husband and my kids were very, very supportive. When I first ran, you know, over 10 years ago, I did have little kids, so they didn't really know any better. But they came with me on the campaign trail. They've gone door to door with me. They wear a shirt that, you know, says "Vote for my mom." I mean, they've been very, very involved. My husband has as well. You know, when I'm gone to city council, you know, every other week or at city events, they've come with me. And so I think first is having the support of your family, and maybe it's not the right time and season to get involved with something that's going to be, you know, time consuming. You just have to decide that and talk that out with your family to make sure that's the right time. Because like I said, if it becomes a burden, you're not going to enjoy it. And you want to be able to give, you know, as much as you can to the organization that you commit to. And so I just think finding that passion, but maybe start, you know, with the PTA, if it's just a monthly meeting that you go to, if it's the library board where it's, again, a monthly meeting, something that you can kind of work your way into. And then if you want to continue moving up to where it becomes a more, you know, higher level position, I think you've got to start somewhere. And so I think you just find what you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you ran when you were pretty young, you had little kids. What was hard about that? And what was an advantage about that?
Well, I definitely campaigned as I said the words, I'm a young mom and I want to be here for the next 30 years. And I want to improve our parks and our programs and our recreation. And I want to do these things for anyone who wants to live here for the next 30 years like me. So I really connected with a lot of, I think, specifically women, moms, and families who were in my same position, because up until that point, there really hadn't been anyone on the city council of that similar age and demographic. And so I think that was refreshing to see someone that was younger jumping in. Again, I can understand why women don't get involved, because we're busy. We have families, we have other commitments. And so I understand that. So I think when people did see that, it was just refreshing to see someone, you know, that demographic being willing to serve. At the same time, I did get comments, and specifically it was from a man who asked me why I wasn't taking my kids to the park and why I wasn't, you know, staying home with them. And I, so that was a little bit of a double-edged sword because I was younger and a young mom. And I think that some people didn't like that I, you know, I was trying to do this at the same time while being a mom. So I did get a couple comments like that. And there wasn't a lot. Most people were very, very supportive. But, you know, there's those people who are a little bit old-fashioned and don't have an open mind to see that women can multitask. So,
yeah. So it sounds like you got some negative feedback, but not much. Most people were supportive about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you face any kind of negative campaigning or trolls or online, anything like that? Or was it a pretty nice race?
Nope. That part's been very, very challenging. And unfortunately, you know, people saw that online, what happened, because I'm very vocal. I have a social media page that has over 10,000 people for Pleasant Grove. And so a lot of people are on that page and can see when there's back and forth and contention and arguments and things like that. And I think, unfortunately, some people saw that. And when it is time for campaigning, I think it discouraged people from running because they even said to me, why would anyone want to do that? Why would they want to get involved when there's this negativity and contention going on? And frankly, sometimes I don't blame them, but that's just kind of part of the job. And what comes with it is that you're never going to make everyone happy. You're never going to get 100% of the votes. That's just what it is. But it did take me a long time to realize that, probably for the first half of my decade of service up to this point, I would try and defend and go online and argue with, you know, these people and try to, you know, prove my point. And finally I came through and it was really tearing me up inside. Like I was not sleeping. I'm going to say I was in a dark place because it got so heated and just really, really contentious. And so I decided, it just kind of came down to it. I'm never going to make them happy. And instead of focusing on the few people who really want to drive that contention, I decided to focus on the 95% that really want to support me and help me in getting things done. So I literally blocked them on social media, those few people, and didn't have to see them online, deal with them. Just tried to do everything I could to avoid that negativity. And when I focused on the people that wanted to help me, it changed my entire perspective and outlook because, I mean, I was getting to the point where I wanted to quit as city council because it was getting so, so bad. But once I changed my perspective and focused on those people who wanted to help me and were appreciative of my service and wanted to get things done with me, then it made all the world of difference. So, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for anyone who wants to run, especially nowadays, as we've seen with, you know, presidential campaigns and, you know, just high profile campaigns over the past few years. It gets very, very heated. People get behind a keyboard and they can say whatever they want. None of these people, well, I shouldn't say none, but most of these people have never said these things to my face. But behind a keyboard, they feel very comfortable, you know, ripping people apart and whatnot. So it took me a long time to figure out how to manage that. And so that is part of it. And I don't want to, like I said, sugarcoat this and make it seem like a walk in the park that it's easy to campaign and get elected. And I mean, it's a lot of hard work. And then once you're in office, taking those hits from different people in the community who don't agree with what you do. So that's the difficult part. But it's also very rewarding when you do get things done with people who want to help you. And I've met some amazing people and friends over the years. I'm proud to call my friends who've helped me, you know, get things done that I'm just really, really proud of.
And you were able to kind of change your perspective, it sounds like, and realize that the online trolls and the people who are negative were just a small percentage of it.
Exactly. And yeah. When it comes down, we're talking a handful of people and there's 40,000 in Pleasant Grove, but it's so easy to focus on the negative and it's so easy to get caught up in what they're saying and get discouraged that once I just had to like change my outlook and I kept thinking, okay, they've got to like me. What can I do? It doesn't matter. Not everyone's going to like you. And I just had to get to a place where I was okay with that because I knew that they didn't know me personally. So I really shouldn't have been taking it personally. They don't know me. They don't know my family. Yeah. I was just an online person that they could easily have access to. So once I did that, it just, and that can be with anything in life. You know, you just have to kind of weed out the negative and move on and focus on the positive, but that's easier said than done. So yeah.
It's definitely easier said than done. And it's unfortunate how much of an influence just a few negative voices can have on the dialogue and everything that's going on. Because like you said, mm-hmm. most people are not like that. And most people are happy and positive and want to help and want to make the community mm-hmm. better. But there's always going to be a few detractors, no matter what the issue, no matter what the place. So.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. What inspires you politically? Do you have any political role models or people who have been mentors to you as you've been a public servant?
It's funny because I was asked this in a debate and, you know, people were giving answers like Thomas Jefferson and just really, you know, high profile people. And mine was Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec. So, and I literally said that on stage and got a good laugh. But really, I had not seen Parks and Rec for the first few years it was out. In fact, I think the show may have been over before I actually watched it. But people kept telling me, you remind me of Leslie Knope. Oh, you do this like Leslie Knope. I'm like, who is this person? So I'm like, I've got to watch the show. I laughed. I cried. I'm like, these people get this? Oh my gosh, this is me. I wish she was real because I would go have pancakes with her just like they do in the show at JJ's Waffle House. I ended up loving that character so much. And she really was inspiring to me with what she accomplished. It implies by the end of the show that she ended up becoming president. You don't know that for sure. But her whole, you know, just journey to get, she was city council, she was impeached, she went through, you know, this whole process, the friends she met, like everything. I mean, I hate to say that it was like this made up person, but that really was like one of my biggest role models. And I kept thinking, okay, if Leslie can do it, I can do it. She got through all these different things. So that's really who it's been. And again, my mom, because she was so involved, she worked full time. She coached she didn't have an athletic bone in her body, but she wanted to be involved. So she coached all of my softball teams, basketball teams. She just really wanted to be involved. And so I would say between her and Leslie Knope, that would be my two kind of inspirations for wanting to be involved in the community and my family's lives and politically as well. So
you could do a lot worse than Leslie Knope as a political role model.
I think so too. I know. I love her. So
yeah. Yeah.
In fact, my license plate says Nope. It's KNOPE. Awesome. So yeah. That's so people awesome. Know that it's you and I'm driving around town. So
I love it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about women of faith and why they would make good public servants if you think they would make good public servants and why it would be good for them to get more involved.
Yeah. I think women of any, you know, denomination, no matter, you know, what it is, anytime you have, I guess, another perspective like that, and you have that in your life, I think it just contributes to the decision-making process that you would have at school, at work, in the community, as a leader. I don't know why that would ever hurt to, you know, to have that faith and to bring that into your leadership abilities. We pray every council meeting, before our council meeting and, as a council and staff, and we pray for the residents, and we pray that we can make the right decisions on their behalf and have an open mind and open heart. And so I think, and especially when I was dealing with those difficult people, I would say a prayer that I could better understand where they were coming from and understand their perspective, because I do want to have an open mind. And to be honest, some of their views I still think about today and use that in my decision making, because they weren't 100% wrong in what they were saying, and maybe it was just their delivery or the way they came across. But I do want to understand different ideas and perspectives. But I think being able to just pray about it and have that faith that I could better understand them came into play. So any denomination, I think, is really important. You know, denomination of faith is really important in any leadership position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would you say some important personality traits or strengths that have helped you in your position, or that you think would be important to be involved or run for office?
I think first is thick skin, because you're going to get, you know, you're going to get comments that are hurtful. But again, being able to disseminate between if that's a personal attack or not. You know, I've had friends that have said things that, you know, have been hurt, and I don't think they were intended to be hurtful, but it just comes across that way. So I think you do have to have a thick skin and be able to see past that. And no, I just kind of realized that everyone's trying their best, including myself. And I, you know, while I appreciate their perspective, I kind of have to take it, some of it with a grain of salt and know that I'm doing everything I can. But I would say definitely a thick skin, being willing to listen and have an open mind, because if you're not willing to listen to what another person that you may disagree with has to say, then you're just kind of dead in the water. There's no point in having a conversation. But I do want to have those conversations because they might have a thought that could really help me in what I need to accomplish. So I would say, yeah, listening skills, being able to have that thick skin, and then also just being personable and being able to go out and, you know, look someone in the eye or shake hands with someone that you may not get along with or that you may not necessarily agree with, being able to mend those fences when you need to. Mm-hmm. So, and just being willing to do that. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting how you were talking about how you still think about some of the points that the people who were making the negative comments and who were being mm-hmm. kind of mean or abrasive or whatever mm-hmm. had made, and that you are still able to recognize that they had a good point, even though they maybe said it in a terrible way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a rare skill. So how have you developed that? Is that something you've just always been able to do, or any suggestions on how people can get past that?
For a lot of years, I didn't do that. I didn't have an open mind. It was like my way, and I know I'm right, and I'm not even going to listen because they're wrong. And then finally, when I really started to hear them and trying to understand where they were coming from, then it was a whole different conversation. And really, like I said, it was again just listening and trying to understand, okay, they are trying their best to get their point across, mm-hmm. and they're probably just frustrated. So what can I do to help be a better leader and listening to what they have to say? It didn't mean I always agreed with them 100%, but at least I understood where they were coming from. And once I did that, like I said, now when I make decisions, some of those thoughts do come into my head that, okay, maybe this isn't the best decision for this reason. And it's going back to some of the things they said. So we can all have these different ideas, but I think it just helps me in my decision-making process. So I think really being able to listen, have an open mind, trying to understand, that, again, that does not mean 100% I'm going to agree with what they say, but it helps me be a better leader in understanding that.
I'm just thinking, if only all of our leaders could do that and think like that, right? I mean, if everybody in a leadership position mm-hmm. got to that point where you can listen to people no matter how yeah. they're delivering it, listen to their actual points and try and understand where they're coming from. I mean, mm-hmm. how much better would our world be, right?
Yeah. Well, exactly. And so to share an example of this, there was a woman who, she was just really upset about, you know, a building being torn down in the city, and we were going back and forth online. I mean, it was just really contentious. So finally I reached out to her and I just said, you know, I apologize if I've done anything that may have offended you. Can you better, you know, help me understand where you're coming from on understanding this? And she was just very passionate about keeping, you know, the building. And so I needed to understand that. Once we had the conversation, she ended up being one of my very, very dear friends. I got her involved in one of our committees, and she has been with something that she's passionate about. And she has been probably the best chairperson we've ever had. And that was me being willing to swallow my pride, even though I was, you know, upset some of the things she was saying, swallow my pride, apologize for anything I may have done to offend her, and then actually listening to her about why she's passionate about this. And then she's ended up serving for, it's probably 5+ years now, and she's been the most amazing leader. So it's taking a little bit of humble pie and being willing to swallow your pride and listen to what others have to say, even though you may not get along with them. But now we're great friends. So mm-hmm. yeah.
That, what a great story of, you know, really taking lemons and making lemonade out of it, right?
I mean, yeah.
you had someone who was negative and causing problems, and you turned them into this huge asset for your city. So
yeah, that's, absolutely.
That's amazing. I love that story. So in Pleasant Grove, and as a councilwoman, what's a big challenge you're facing right now, and how are you tackling it?
Just the growth right now. I mean, we have a lot of new businesses coming in and being able to manage that. And then, of course, roads is always a big issue with any city in Utah because of our weather, where it's terrible one day and then, you know, 80 one day and then 40 the next, and just destroys our roads. So roads are a huge thing, and they're so costly to repair. And then just revenue, and I mean, just kind of what every city deals with. But I would definitely say the growth. We're almost at build out, which is 46,000 residents, and just trying to manage that. So I think we're doing a good job, and obviously we can always do better and improve. But right now, it's just exciting to see those new businesses coming in, which means more sales tax revenue, which means we can take some of that burden off of our residents. And so that's probably the biggest thing right now is managing that growth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, how long has this growth been going on? Because I feel like Utah County has just exploded recently. And so you've been on the council for a long time and kind of seen that progression. How has that been? And how is your job different now than it was when you first joined the council?
I would say the growth has mostly been the past 5 or 6 years. It was kind of setting it up for that in the past, you know, when I was first on the council, and then all of a sudden it just kind of started happening and coming. And so definitely the past 5 or 6 years, we've seen the most growth. And I think we're just going to continue to see that until we're at that build out. But I've loved being a part of that. And I know I haven't always made the best decisions. You know, I just try my best, and I know not everyone's going to be happy with everything, but I just have to do its best, I feel, for the whole of the community and make those decisions based on that. And at the end of the day, if people don't like it, I always tell them then they can run in the next election. So well, there's your option.
There you go. There you go. Encouraging people to run. I love it. And you mentioned at the beginning too that you're looking a lot at the future in the next 30 years. And how does that kind of influence your decisions thinking in the long term versus the short term? And is that difficult to do?
No, because I think you do have to have that big picture mindset to plan now for what's going to happen in 30 years. And if you are only looking a year or two ahead, that can't help you make the big decisions to, you know, to know what's coming in the next 30 years. So I think looking ahead it's so critical. So you can see that what you're doing now is going to affect people because I'm not going to be here forever, but my kids, you know, hopefully want to make their home here. So I want to be able to, you know, to make it a place where they want to live in 30 years. So that would, having that big picture outlook and that long-term perspective is really, really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like how, you know, it just reemphasizes the point that it's really important to have younger people on the council too. So you can say things like, I'm going to be here for 30 years, or I want to make this place for my kids when they, you know, that they want to live here, and really have that long-term perspective that maybe somebody else wouldn't have because of their different life experience.
I think that's so true. Having a variety of ages and demographics on the council, you know, someone who is in their 70s, someone who's in their 30s, men, women, all different ages. Like, I think that is so important because you need to have those different demographics represented. But I love to see, especially women, for the first time in history, we had the women outnumber the men on the council a few years ago. There were 3 women and 2 men. And that, you know, that was the first time that's ever happened. We've never had a female mayor here in Pleasant Grove. We've only had myself and one other woman run, which to me is disappointing that women aren't even putting their hat in the ring to have the opportunity to run for a position like that. And I'm not sure what the reasoning is behind that, but I just think we need more women to at least give themselves, know that they have every opportunity to serve in that type of position as anyone else.
So you ran for mayor, or you're running for mayor? I don't even know this.
I did run for mayor a few years ago. Yeah, I didn't make it. And so I continued serving on the council. And so hopefully again down the road, that would be something I would like to do.
That's fantastic. And so you have experience winning your first campaign, but then losing another campaign.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
Yeah.
How was that? Like, how was it dealing with a loss? Because I know a lot of people are afraid to run because they're afraid to lose.
That was hard. I mean, it was a very stressful process. It was, so I would say, but you don't know until you try. I mean, this is part of it. I'm not going to win every single time. You know, you have to be able to take that risk and be okay with losing. But if you don't even try, how would you even know? So yeah, it was disappointing, but I was also able to continue, you know, serving on the council and making important decisions and making a difference in my community. So you just have to try. I, you know, that's the only way that you're going to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be honest, I mean, I work in elections and most people lose at least once or twice, and especially their first times running, and they learn so much from it. And the ones who get up and say, okay, I'm going to try again, or get up, or this didn't work, we're going to change this and this. Those are the ones who win the next time.
Absolutely. Yeah. You just have to try it over and over and make sure that you have to get your name out there and have people recognize that you want to be involved, and then they'll know your name for next time. So you have to try, you know, and you can't be scared of the what ifs. So
Well, kudos to you for trying and for being willing to consider it again. And
thank you.
Serving your city so much. I mean, they're so lucky to have you on the council, and this great attitude you're bringing to your city and planning and all of that. So good job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, we are out of time, unfortunately. Thank you so much, Sid, for joining us today. This was a phenomenal discussion. I really enjoyed it. And thank you for listening to the Project Elected podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to projectelectwomen.org. And we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give us a review on iTunes. Until next time.